Your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The title of my sermon this afternoon is Transformative Life. Transformative Life. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed. Everyone say conformed? To this world. Or in some translations, you might say to the patterns of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. So here, Paul begins a new section in his letter. So this is actually Paul writing this letter. As of many of his epistles, Paul begins Romans with teachings on the doctrine of salvation. Salvation by God's grace. And he ends with teaching on how should those saved by God's grace should live today. And Romans 12 actually answers how we should live as those who are saved by God's grace. It teaches us how we should live as God's people. So in verse 1 it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And I love this. You know, every time I read this passage of scripture, this portion of scripture, I always pause. And I always read word by word. Therefore. So what is happening here? Therefore. Paul writes, therefore. After teaching on how we have become new creations, Paul is teaching them how we can live as new creations. Okay? So Paul has taught the believers there how we have been saved and how now we are a new creation. And now he goes on to teach them how we can live as godly people, how we can live as new creations. You see, Paul understands that for a believer to live the word, they need to first catch the word. Let me say that again. Paul emphasizes that for a believer to live the Word of God, then it's to first and foremost catch the Word of God. And we too, as the body of Christ, we need to first catch the Word of God. The Word of God is very important for us so that we can live the Word of God. Amen. See, I want to give us four reasons why it is important to study and catch the Word of God. Okay, four reasons why it is important to study and also to catch the Word of God. Everyone say, catch the Word of God. We need to catch the Word of God. Amen. We need to make it personal. The first reason is this. The Word of God is pure and complete. The Word of God is pure and complete. In other words, there is no error in the Word of God. You see, Proverbs chapter 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. Okay, every word of God is pure. That's in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. When we feed on the word of God too makes us pure and complete. You see, if the word of God is pure and complete, and when we catch the word of God, what that does to us is the word makes us pure and complete. The reason why we don't walk in purity is because there is lack of word in us. Purity comes when we submit ourselves to the Word of God, and the Word of God and us, we become one. That brings about purity in our lives. The reason number two is this. The Word of God is totally authoritative. The Word of God is full of authority. The Word of God is full of authority. Amen. It gives us authority. It becomes our weapon for warfare. See, when the enemy whispers lies
we can use the Word of God as our authority. Amen. See, next time the enemy whispers lies in your ears, use the Word of God. Don't use your emotions. Don't use your feelings, but use the Word of God. I am chosen. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am more than a conqueror. God is fighting this fight for me. I am not fighting on my own. God is fighting on my behalf. Use the Word of God. The enemy wants you to dwell on the emotions. The enemy wants you to use your emotions as your weapon. But the Word of God is this. Use the Word of God as your weapon, because it's two-edged sword. The Word of God is there for us. The Word of God is full of authority. That's number reason two. Third reason is this. The Word of God is totally sufficient for all our needs. The Word of God is totally sufficient for all our needs. I love 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. Paul writes to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is from God, it is of God, it is by God. Amen. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love this. Not just complete, but thoroughly equipped. See, the Word of God makes us complete, but the Word of God also thoroughly equips us for God's service. We as followers of Jesus Christ can be totally secure in the Lord by studying the Word, because it is God's plan for our life. The fourth reason is this. The Word of God will accomplish what it promises. The Word of God will accomplish what it promises. See, if God told you something will happen, guess what? It will happen. It's going to happen. God has given you a promise, it will happen. In Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11, this is my favorite scripture. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void. Hallelujah. It will not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Amen. If God's given you a word, it is going to prosper. It is going to happen. Doesn't matter what the enemy whispers in your ear. If God has told you, then it's going to happen. Amen. It's going to happen. Hold on to that promise. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't run back. Keep pressing forward. Keep pressing on. Because if God has told you that, if God has given you that, boom, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Amen. If God makes a promise to you, He will fulfill it. But here's the thing. In His own time. We don't like that bit. We don't get hallelujahs and amens in that bit. But in His own time. Amen. In His own time. So let me go through them four things again. Just for those who are taking notes. The Word of God is pure and complete. That was the first reason. Second reason, the Word of God is full of authority. Third reason, the Word of God is totally sufficient for all our needs. Fourthly, the Word of God will accomplish what it promises. That's what Paul says, therefore. Therefore, okay? Now we get on to the next bit. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. Okay, Paul writes, therefore, because he's explaining to them the importance of the Word of God. He's explaining to them the importance of having the right doctrine, of knowing what salvation is all about, knowing what God has done for us, that it is not our own doing, but it is all because of Jesus. And now Paul's highlighted that, he's submitted his case. Now he moves on to the next bit. Now I tell you the practicality of how to live a godly life. So Paul starts by saying, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. Everyone say mercies of God. And this is Paul's way of saying, you should have a part to play. God has done everything for you, but you have a part to play as well. Okay? God gives us all the tools we need, but we have to use them. We have to use them. And that's what Paul is strongly saying here. I urge you. He's not just saying, I'm telling you. He says, I urge you. This is pressure. This is intense thing where he wants them to get hold of this. I urge you, brothers and sisters, please take hold of this. We come across this in loads of Paul's writings. Please take hold of this. Please grasp hold of this. I urge you. And it says, by the mercies of God. Paul here reminds again that it is all because of the mercy of God. All because of mercy of God. I love that quote by Harrison. It says, whereas the heathens are prone to sacrifice in order to obtain mercy, biblical faith teaches that the divine mercy provides the basis of sacrifice as the fitting response. In other words, in the heathen world, if you consider sacrifice, sacrifice is brought so that you can obtain mercy. But in biblical terms, sacrifice has already been made for you. Now the mercy is available for each and every one of us. It's been made available to us, for us. We don't have to bring our sacrifice. It's already been brought and already been is already at the altar for us. Amen. Because of God's mercy. So what has this mercy of God done for us? I've wrote down a couple of things, and you'll find this over and over again in the writings of Paul and in the New Testament. Because of God's mercy, number one, we are justified from the guilt and penalty of sin. We are justified because of God's mercy. We are justified from the penalty of sin. Because of God's mercy, number two, we are adopted in Jesus and identified with Christ. We are adopted into His family and now we identify with Christ. Thirdly, because of God's mercy, we are placed under grace. Hallelujah. We are placed under grace, not law. Law's done. This is grace. Amen. The time of grace we're living in. Because of God's mercy, we are given the Holy Spirit who empowers us. We didn't earn the empowerment. It's freely been given to us. But we have to seek it. Seek and you shall find. Seek and it will be given to you. We are given the Holy Spirit who empowers us. Because of God's mercy, we are promised help in all our affliction. In all our affliction. Whatever you're struggling with today, whatever you're going through today, there's help available for you. Because of Jesus. Because of God's mercy. Because of God's mercy, we can be confident that there will be no separation from the love of God. There will be no separation from the love of God. I love what Ken said earlier on. Love is a choice. Love is a decision. It's not based upon our feelings. It's not based upon our doings. Love is love. You cannot change that. And God is love. You cannot change who He is. He is who He says He is. He is love. And He will continue to love. Going on to say, He says, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Firstly, it says, present your bodies. Present your bodies, okay? And body here refers to entire being, not just our body. It refers to our spirit, our soul, flesh, mind. It refers to our entire being. So when Paul writes, present your bodies as living sacrifice, he's saying, bring everything of you before God, not just your body, because sometimes we can bring our body, but we're not there spiritually. It's like we come to church, but you're not church, because your mind's everywhere. You're thinking about what am I going to cook when I get home. You're thinking about what I'm going to do tomorrow. You're thinking about what I'm going to wear tomorrow. Your mind is everywhere. So when it says present your bodies, it's saying discipline your bodies in a sense that when you come to church, when you are in one place, you are in that place fully. Amen? And we have to discipline ourselves to be fully in one place. And that can be a challenge for those who love multitasking. But when it comes to being still in the presence of God, we have to neglect the art of multitasking and embrace the art of self-giving to God. Amen? We have to completely neglect all of that and give ourselves to God. You may do all kinds of work for God, but never give Him yourself. See? You know, in ancient Greek times, when I was studying this, people never thought that presenting yourself as living sacrifice was never a thing in the ancient Greek times. Because in those times, whenever you bring your offering, it'll always be animals or birds. So the whole idea of bringing yourself before God as a living sacrifice was never there. So when Paul introduces this whole new terminology of actually bringing yourself before God as a living sacrifice, when people read that, people didn't understand it. Because they didn't then see themselves fit enough to fit all the criteria for being a perfect living sacrifice. Because they were still living in the Old Testament mentality. The new was already done and was made available to them, for them, but they were still living in the old. And the reason they were still living in the old was because although it was done to them, the revelation had not come to them yet. And it can be the same for each and every one of us as well. We can have all these ideas of who God is, but until and unless we have this revelation of what Jesus has done for us, we will still be bounded under this thing of working for our righteousness rather than righteousness that's already been worked out for us. The righteousness has already been worked out for us. So present your body holy, acceptable to God. You see, when we offer our bodies to God, God intends it to be holy and acceptable sacrifice. And in the Old Testament, every sacrifice had to be holy and acceptable to God. Here are some of the tick lists, okay, in the Old Testament. The first tick list is this. He shall bring a male without blemish. That's found in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 10. Number two, but if there is a defect in it, if it is lame or blind or has serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 21. So this whole idea of bringing yourself as living sacrifice didn't fit with the Old Testament criteria. Because it says it has to be blameless, without any defect. So no wrinkles, no stretch marks, no none of that. It has to be blameless, holy, clean. See, the holiness we bring to the altar is a decision for holiness and yielding to the work of holiness in our lives. And you know, when you bring the sacrifice, it has to be burnt as a burnt offering. So when we bring ourselves as this living sacrifice before God with all of our imperfections, do you know what God does? He burns all the impurities from us. We don't burn them, He burns them. It's like the time of Elijah. Fire came down. The sacrifice was there, the fire came down. And it's the same terminology today. When we come before God, He burns all our impurities away. But decision needs to be made. Have we decided to follow Jesus? Have we decided to live a holy life? And it says, acceptable to God. In other words, reasonable to God. Reasonable service. See, the word reasonable in Greek means logikos. Okay, logikos, which also means of the word. From the word, of the word. So in other words, acceptable means to be filled with the word. If you are filled with the word of God, you are acceptable. Holy and acceptable. You are holy because of Jesus, but you are acceptable because you have the word of God living in you. That's holy and acceptable. So when we present ourselves as holy and holy and acceptable sacrifice before the Lord, we go as we are because Jesus has made us holy, not because of what we've done. And also we are acceptable, not because of what we've done, but because the word of God now lives in us because Jesus gave us the word. So to present ourselves before God means to present a life yielded to the work of Christ. to the works of Christ, yielded, not just under the but yielded, becomes one, yielded, it's like super glued, yielded to the works of Christ, which will then burn away all our impurities. I want that, church. When I stand before God, His presence burns all my impurities. That's beautiful. He showers me with His mercy. He showers me with His grace. Though I don't deserve it, when I stand before Him, He looks at me with love and kindness. That's who our God is. And when it says to present yourself as a living sacrifice, they didn't understand it, but what Paul was saying was, come as you are. And He will make you holy. He will fill you with His word. And He will burn away all your impurities. And He will wash you and make you ready for God's service. That's what He's preparing us for. For God's service. Amen. So what is the ultimate worship? A life dedicated to God's service. That's ultimate worship. See, we sing songs, we sing hymns. That's part of worship. But what is the ultimate worship? When you give your life, when you dedicate your life for God's glory and God's service. That's ultimate worship. Amen. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We find this repetition in his writing. Acceptable, perfect, good, because he wants the reader to grasp hold of it. Saying it once isn't enough. See, we hear messages and sometimes we say, oh, I've heard that message again, or I've heard this again. But it takes time for your body, your soul, your mind to process. It takes more than 10 times for you to get it. See, sometimes I listen to the same messages over and over and over again. I know what the next line is, but I'm listening to it over and over again because I'm feeding my spirit. My flesh has had it, but I need to feed my spirit. We read the same word of God, don't we? Every day. The word of God is repetitive. We read it again and again and again, but what it's doing is cleansing us, burning all our impurities away. Do not be conformed to this world. This also refers to culture of this world. Culture of this world. So what is the definition of culture? As I was looking for a definition online, I found this. Culture is the ideas, customs, and social behavior of a particular people or society. It's the way of thinking, behaving, or working that exists in a place or organization. So basically, it's a way of thinking, it's a way of behaving, it's a way of working. Okay? Thinking, behaving, and working. See, when Paul is writing this letter, there were many in that time who were practicing different ideology, who were practicing different philosophy, and not only that, but what they were doing was they were mixing. So they were polluting the Word of God. They were taking ideas from the Word of God. They would pollute the Word of God with their own worldly understanding, with their own philosophy, and they would present to the world a different gospel, which was no gospel at all. And therefore we find Paul, again, writing to Luther churches at the time, you know, people are contaminating the gospel and giving you the gospel, which is no gospel at all. See, there were groups in the time who were preaching different philosophical ideas and were living a life that was birthing a rebellion against God. It was birthing a rebellion against God. It wasn't helping people grow in God. It was birthing a rebellion against God. And sadly, that's what's happening today. We have all these different cultures in the world where it's teaching the kids how to be rebellious. We have songs that encourages kids that not having an education is good. Let me use a prime, Pink Floyd. There was a song called We Don't Need No Education. All these type of songs. You know, and kids are singing them. They don't know what it means, but they're singing them. Like Frozen, Let It Go. Cold never bothers me anyway. Like the things of what people... When you look deeply in that lyrics, what he's saying is, listen, it does not matter. what people think about you, it doesn't matter, just be you. You can go out and just be yourself and do whatever you want. And it's teaching kids these sort of ideas and ideology. And we wonder why our kids have turned out the way they are today. Because we are innocently feeding them those things. Even with Joshua, there are some rhymes. And this morning I was sat with him and I was listening to some of the rhymes. And I'm thinking, good Lord, they're dressed as wizards and witches and devils and demons and monsters. And they're dancing around and in cartoons. And from a very innocent perspective, for those who don't know these sort of things, they'll encourage their kids to watch these things. And they grow up with those sort of mindsets. And what we don't understand is these things are actually birthing a rebellion in them against God. Absolutely, it's planting seeds. See, the popular culture and manner of thinking which was bringing a rebellion against God was trying to conform the people of God to its ungodly patterns. See, in that time it was slowly conforming the people within the church to the world's ungodly patterns. So what was happening was, now, rather than the church impacting the world was slowly impacting the church. The culture of the world was slowly making its way to inside the church. And you see, sadly, we have these ideas and strategies even now where we have this mentality, we have to be seeker-friendly church. I don't know what that means, because church is friendly anyways. Seeker-friendly church. Church should be friendly anyways. Church should be a place where everybody's welcomed anyways. But we have this whole terminology where we use the word seeker-friendly church and we play some weird sort of songs in the church that has nothing to do with Jesus, that has nothing to do with God. And we almost orchestrate this new dimension of church to the people, which is no church at all. And it breaks my heart. More and more as I've been following Jesus, I've been seeing these things happening and I'm saying to myself, God, please help me not to be in that place myself where I find compromising with the things that is not of you. Help me, God, to be conformed only by your word. Be transformed only by your word. See, Paul urges the believers to stay away from these manners of thinking, behaving, and working. And you know, as I was preparing this, something came to me. You know, instead, could it be that maybe Paul was trying the church, the believers, to create their own godly culture rather than bringing in the culture of the world to the church? See, the reason why church is bringing the culture of outside of church cultures inside of church is because church has not created its own culture yet. And the reason why it's not creating its own culture is because it's looking for outside sources from outside of Bible. They're looking for sources outside of Bible and bringing it to the church, thinking this might work, that might work, this might work, that might work. But could it be that everything that we need is already in the Word? It's already in the Word. We don't have to look anywhere else. All the strategies we need, they're already in the Word. All the ways we need, they're already in the Word. All the way of establishing healthy churches, it's already in the Word. Healthy leadership, it's already in the world. We're looking for outside sources. We're looking at ungodly leaders who rebel against God, and we're using their principles teaching young Christian leaders. And I don't think that's right. Because their value does not match with the biblical value. We need to look at the biblical value because we're not realizing that we are birthing a rebellious congregation. Yeah. And we don't want that. We are birthing a comparing congregation. Not only that, but we are birthing a compromising congregation. Compromising generation. Jesus wants us to follow his footsteps. God wants us to create and follow the culture that's already is there for us and he's made it available to us. not bringing the things of the world to the church so that church can be relatable to the world, but rather church creating its own so that it will help the world to be a better world. See, we shouldn't be bringing in the things of the world to change the church. The church should be creating things in the church so that it will help better the world. Not the outside in principle. That's what's happening. Look at outside. Ooh, that looks interesting. I think that'll work. Let's bring the dark colors in. Ooh, flashlights, smoke machines. That might work. Let's bring that in too. Oh, maybe we need heated chairs as well. Let's bring that in. You know, all that sort of thing. We've got comfortable chairs. We've got all of these things, you know. But what we're doing is we are helping the people of God so that they can run with the vision that God has for them. What we don't want to be is we don't want to be a place where you just come in to be entertained. Come on, church. We are church. Amen. We are church. We are here to better the world. Amen. We're not here to compromise with the world. We are not here to let the world stay in a place where it is. We are here to change the world. Amen. I believe God wants us to create a culture where everyone is welcomed, loved, and treated equally. I believe God is wanting us to create a culture where backgrounds will not matter and will not ever matter. It doesn't matter where you've come from, you're welcomed. Amen. A culture where everyone is valued. A culture where there is no comparison. A culture where everyone becomes busy helping and building each other in God. A culture where there is real equipping of the saints for their works and ministry. A culture where everybody values one another, and most importantly, puts Jesus at the center of their lives. Now, how can this culture be achieved? How can this culture be achieved? It's in the Word. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. In other words, do not give in to the cultures of this world, but rather create your own culture. How do we create that culture? It's in the scripture. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how is our mind transformed and renewed? By the Word of God. Amen. We are transformed by the Word of God. And the word transformed comes from the word metamorphosis. Okay? And the same word is used in Jesus' transfiguration. The glorious transfiguration. You know? And according to Romans, this transformation and renewing of the mind takes place as we behold the face of God. As we behold the face of God and as we spend time in His glory. As we behold the face of God and as we spend time in His glory. That's what we need to do. We need to behold His face and spend time in His glory. We have all these great conferences. We have all these great meetings, and they're great. But they're not the power station. They're not the power station. Absolutely, the Word of God is the power station. See, I've got my phone. But the only way, the best way for me to charge my phone is connect it to my charger and plug it to the wall where there's a plug socket. You know, I've got one of them, what do you call it, the extension charger things that I carry with me, the power phone charger. But that power phone charger, power pack, is very limited. It's not going to last forever. And all these conferences and meetings, they're these power packs. It's not going to last forever. The power socket is the Word of God. The power socket is His presence. So when I'm in His presence, it recharges me. When I'm in His presence, it burns away all the impurities. When you are in His presence, it will burn away all your impurities. Practice that. Practice being in His presence. Try being in His presence. Because according to Romans, the only way we can create this healthy, godly culture is when people of God come together and when they seek Him and His presence. Amen. Absolutely. prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. As we are transformed on the inside, the proof will be seen on the outside. Not the outside in, but inside out principle. You see, we focus on the outside, you know, and it's good to look good on the outside, but what needs to change is on the inside. The change needs to take place on the inside, as others can see what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. So Paul here explains how to live out the will of God. Okay, as we talked about earlier on, transformative life. Transformative life. Okay, according to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul here explains how to live out the will of God. Number one is this. By understanding the rich mercy of God to us and for us. Rich mercy of God to us and for us. This is the mercy of God. It's the grace of God, past, present and future. It's all been covered. Mercy of God. His blood. Mercy of God. All because of His blood. All because of what He has done for us. How we can live out the will of God? By understanding that it is because of the rich mercy of God. Secondly, by being a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. We talked about it. Holy. He has made us holy. How we are made acceptable? Because the word now remains in us. That's why we are acceptable. Amen. That's how we are made acceptable. Yielding our entire being to God. Our everything to God. Giving out everything to God. Thirdly, resisting conformity to the thoughts and actions of this world. We have to resist. The word of God says in James, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I believe it's James. Resist the temptations and he will flee from you. Resist the conformity of this world. Do not be conformed. Resist. Resisting is hard. So the word of God is there. Resist. And lastly, by focusing on God's word and fellowship with Him. And also being a culture changes in this world. Being a culture changes in this world. Look at the person next to you and tell them, you are the culture changer. You are the culture changer. It is you who will change the culture of this world. It is I who will change the culture of the world. It is us who will change the culture of this world. See, it's there. It's happening all around us. You see, wherever you go, you are atmosphere changes. See, you carry the authority of God. That as soon as your presence is there around people, it changes things. You don't see it happening, but it's actually changing the atmosphere. Because you carry that authority with you. We heard this teaching from Pastor Andrew about spiritual warfare. That is spiritual warfare. You're under attack because you always change the atmosphere wherever you go. Because unknowingly you're changing it. Even your very presence changes the atmosphere. Not because of your presence, but because His presence lives in you. Because He is with you, you are changing the atmosphere. You are changing your surroundings. And that's why you are under attack. And that's why we need to be in His presence all the time. We need to charge ourselves in His presence. The time we forget to charge ourselves is the time when we run dry. Yeah. It's like phone. When you don't charge your phone, it's no good. It's got all the things in it. But if I don't charge it, it's no good. Same with us. The Word of God has made available everything to us. His presence is in us, and we have everything that God wants us to have. But if we are not charging ourselves in His presence, surely, not long, we will run dry. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. We are culture changers in this world. We are transformed to live a transformative life. But we are also transformed so that we can be transformers in this world for Jesus. Amen. We are transformed to live a transformative life, but we are transformed to be transformers for Jesus in this world. Yeah. You are culture changers for Jesus. You are atmosphere changers for Jesus. You are life changers for Jesus. You are life savers for Jesus. buckle up. It's going to be an interesting and amazing journey. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's pray.